Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hospitable Host podcast. I'm Miles, head of marketing here at Hospitable, an Inc. 5000 company. I'm joined today by Niels Mattesson, CEO and co-founder of Minit, makers of smart devices that allow you to monitor your property for noise, occupancy levels, and cigarette smoke. Thank you for joining us today, Niels. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, Miles.
No worries. Whereabouts are you joining us from today, Niels?
I'm calling in from our office in London. Minit is sort of split between our office in Sweden and then one in London, and then of course our employees in the US and France and Spain. I've been based in London for the last few years. I'm liking it here.
Awesome. Sounds good. Yeah, I spent a few years living in London myself. Loved it as a city for sure. So to start us off, Niels, can you give us a bit of a background on Minit? You know, where did it all begin? What are you folks working on right now?
Sure. Yeah, there was we're four co-founders, myself, Frederick, Marcus, and Martin. We wanted to start a startup, you know, like that was sort of the one of the driving things. But of course, that's not enough. You need to have an idea. And I had earlier come across this problem in Airbnbs. I met one of the very early employees, if not one of the first employees at Airbnb, over drinks when I lived in San Francisco. And he was telling me how they started already then, this is 2008 or 2009, having the occasional issue with people putting up cameras in their Airbnbs, which, you know, you could sort of understand from the host point of view, because there wasn't much in the way of reviews or background checks and that sort of thing then. But of course, it's a big invasion of privacy, and as a guest, you would find it completely unacceptable. But that problem sort of stuck with me, and then when we fast forward a few years and we were looking for an idea about what to do, this came back, and I thought there could be a better way to enable monitoring while preserving privacy. And that's really the origin of sort of the founding idea of Minit, to give hosts peace of mind, make sure that guests have their privacy, and make sure that short-term rentals are a good contribution to the community and nothing that neighbors need to fear.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, SDR advocacy is obviously kind of a big topic, always has been to us with Airbnbs. And I think you're obviously playing a part in that and making sure that hosts are responsible and guests are responsible also.
Right.
What are some of the different areas that you actually help protect against? So I know noise monitoring is one, but there's a few other elements to it as well, right?
Yeah, so we started with noise, but of course, once it's gotten to the point where it's quite noisy, you know, you might have had a few warning signs. So we went from there to introduce occupancy monitoring with our crowd detect feature, which before a party could really even kick off, we could start seeing whether there was way more people in a property than there were supposed to. So those, I would say, are the two pillars. And then we recently also introduced cigarette smoke detection, which is part of our strategy to make sure that we provide a lot of value and not just like a sort of a single point solution, but something that can help hosts with many aspects of their running their operations.
Fantastic. And on that cigarette smoke detection, is it cigarette smoke specifically or is it smoke in general? I have to ask.
It's cigarette smoke in particular. And this was one of the big challenges because there are a lot of solutions out there that can detect whether there is bad air quality or smoke particles. But that happens sometimes, and especially in short-term rentals where you might have guests who are using a toaster or cooking. And so it was very important for us to build a feature that could distinguish cigarette smoke in particular. And we've worked on that feature for several years, and we've actually leveraged the same type of machine learning that we use on the sound recognition side with air quality. And so we take this sort of fingerprint of the pollutants in the air and then match that against what the cigarette smoke typically looks like. It's not perfect by any means, but it is certainly the best on the market in terms of being able to distinguish the different types of smoke.
Fantastic. That's pretty nifty. And then also you have some outdoor devices as well. What exactly do they do and kind of what protections do they offer?
Yeah, so it's all actually in one device. So whether you use it outdoor or indoor, or whether it's primarily smoking or noise or occupancy that you're concerned by, it's all with one sensor. And you can place it outside if you are concerned with noise around hot tubs or pools. Could be a neighborhood where outdoor noise is maybe something of a bigger concern, or you can place it indoors, and then the device sort of adapts to its location, and you can then monitor for the levels of noise that are right for your particular property.
Okay, that makes sense. And so maybe can you talk us through the process? So let's say an unusually high noise level has been detected at one of your properties. What happens next? Do I get a notification on the app? Do I automatically get a message sent to the guests themselves? Talk me through kind of the step-by-step process there.
Yeah, we've found that the most effective way to deal with noise is to get a message to the guest as soon as possible, because most people are good people, right? And they're on vacation and they're maybe not thinking about the neighbors. They might not know. And the faster you let them know that things are a little bit out of bound, the more likely you are to get the noise resolved quickly. So that's why we've focused so heavily on automation and integrations with companies like Hospitable, which means that we can, the moment a noise threshold is reached, we can actually, through the Hospitable platform, message the guest directly. And in 90% of cases, that means that the guest apologizes and they go out to a bar or they turn the music down. So we've seen that to be like by far and away the most effective way to deal with noise issues.
Amazing. And is that something that you kind of, you script for your hosts, or is that something that you kind of expect hosts to kind of figure out themselves in terms of the messaging that they're sending to guests?
We have templates that the host can use, and not just for the messaging when there is something or when there is noise detected, but also in terms of disclosing and talking about the sensor prior to booking, which in itself is actually a very good deterrent. But of course, every neighborhood is different, every neighbor is unique, and so a host, more often than not, they will change the messaging to what is right for them and their guests. But of course, like we try to make your life easy as a host, so we pre-populate and we have suggestions for what we see and have been effective in other circumstances. So you don't have to, you know, come up with like the perfect formulations. We've thought about this before.
Excellent. Yeah, I actually saw, preparing for this podcast, I look back at some, old pieces that we did with you, and looking back at an ebook we released a couple of months ago, and you saying that, a polite message has been shown to reduce complaints by as much as 90%, which is pretty amazing, right? It's just a simple request is enough to make a guest realize, oh, we're making a bit too much noise. We need to kind of turn it down a little bit.
Yes, that came out of a study we did together with the city of La Quinta in California. And they had a lot of issues because it's close to the Coachella Music Festival. So at certain times of year, that was a big nuisance to the neighbors. So we worked with them and installed minute sensors in a lot of short-term rentals. And then we compared like the number of neighborhood complaints to the council before and after having a minute sensor installed, and we got this really fantastic result. So I think that was one of the best cases for, or one of the best showcases to see like how effective this really is, and I think it speaks to guests being good people. Good people having a good time, they just need a polite a reminder every now and again.
Amazing, yeah. And I guess there's a degree of even just the fact that the sensor is there, that in itself is kind of a deterrent, right? It makes people think twice about being a bit too crazy at a party at an Airbnb, essentially.
Yeah, and it can work both ways as well. It can also for a guest be something that can give them a bit of comfort. Like they know that they will be told if they are out of bounds, and that can give so people don't have to be overly careful either. So we really try to make Minute a win-win-win for the host, the neighbors, and the guest in different ways. And I think, you know, deployed right and communicated right, it really can be.
Amazing. So yeah, so maybe you can talk a bit more about how deploying a Minute sensor, you know, doing it correctly, how to go about that, because it's important that you're not hampering a guest experience. It's important that I think that you're communicating what's being detected and what's being, picked up. Talk us through kind of getting that balance right of monitoring, but not over intruding on a guest.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very, very good question. I think it really starts already at the listing, at putting the fact that you have noise monitoring and what it does, what it doesn't do, can be very good for guests. Actually, there is of course always the risk of people putting up cameras, as we spoke about in the beginning, and you as a host, if you are signaling that, you know, we have this type of equipment because we respect your privacy, that gives a comfort to the guest. And I think once you have explained that it's a monitor for noise and occupancy, it doesn't pick up any conversations or any sounds, and it's really there to protect you as well as the host. You've come a really long way just by getting that communication right. And then you're mentioning guest experience, and I think one of the sort of the side effects of having a Minute sensor in your property is that you get data about when guests are arriving, when they're leaving, and that means you can time your communication. You can actually elevate the guest experience. So rather than trying to guess when a guest has shown up and schedule your cleaning, etc., you can time welcome messages and etc. with when the guest has shown up, and that is something which, you know, you can help point them towards Wi-Fi passwords or guidebooks at the right moment instead of when they're still at the airport. So those, I would say, are like the two biggest thing: disclosure in the beginning, explaining it well, and then also leveraging the other automation to make sure that it's actually a net positive for the guest.
Fantastic. Yeah, I like that. I mean, Hospitable is obviously a big fan of automated messaging and make sure you're getting messages through at the right time. So I really like that idea of getting a message right at check-in and really actually knowing that is when they are checking in and not just the arbitrary time that you've allowed them to check in from. So that's ideal, for sure. So just kind of going on to the other side of things, that's kind of the positive side, I think, of positive guest experience and things going swimmingly. And we talked about 90% reduction in complaints around noise. What happens to kind of the other 10%? What happens when there is a party or property and, you know, your sensor has been triggered and they've not listened to the message? What can hosts actually do in those instances to kind of react to a party at their property?
Yeah, in those cases, the traditional way would have been for the host to actually have to go to the property, which can be, very disruptive. And also having to deal with de-escalating a party that might be out of control for even the original guest who booked it. We've recently introduced a couple of collaborations with local security firms, where in those cases where it is quite stubborn, we can dispatch a local guard who can go to your property and de-escalate the situation. That is pretty rare, but in some cases that is what's needed. And of course, automated messages are great. Airbnb messages and text messages, etc., typically reaches the guest. But there are situations where, you know, maybe they didn't have their phone on, or maybe they weren't connected to Wi-Fi or whatever. And then, like, having someone come and knock on the door can solve those last few percent. But those are quite rare. And I think as well, this is something that works both in actually solving a situation that's already there, but it's even better as a deterrent. Because if you have that in your communication, that this is what will happen in case you keep our neighbors awake at 4 a.m. in the morning, then that is much less likely to happen in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. And that's quite interesting that you're starting to kind of collaborate with, you know, local security firms. I assume that's something that's just rolling out and not available in tons of geographies at the moment.
Exactly. So I would still call it in its early stages, but we do cover most of the UK and a few locations in the US. And I think it's important here that we work with the people who know the specific specifics of a local market. So we don't want to try to roll something out that is global. I think this is a local problem, and we need to work with local partners to make sure that it's set up in a good way.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds good. So kind of taking a bit of a turn here as we kind of head into the kind of the second half or even the second or the final quarter, should I say, of the podcast. And this is a question that the team always loves to make me ask. What's one of the kind of the weird occupancy violations you've had or prevented with Minute? Is there any kind of stories of any major parties or disturbances that Minute has kind of managed to shut down that you've heard from your customers?
Yeah, we hear occasionally some fantastic stories, which is good fun. One was a new customer, and she came to us after having had this experience. So I want to point out that there wasn't a Minute in the property in this case. But so this was a host in Liverpool, and she got a call from the neighbors, and they were saying that there was a raging party in her flat. So she went there, and this is the morning after, and the party is still going on. But she can't find the guest that she had actually rented out the flat to. And so she was not sure how she was ever going to be able to, you know, get some accountability there. But she asked people to leave, and they did. And now we're like at 6 or 7 in the morning. And the place was a bit of a wreck, and she had to pay a lot of money to make sure that it looked good for the next guest. And she thought she'd never see the money again. But then the guest who she hadn't spoken to for a long time said, you know, reached out to her and said that she had forgotten a pair of expensive pair of Balenciaga shoes in the apartment, not mentioning the party, of course, because you know, she didn't know that they had been caught. But then, of course, like she wanted to get her money for the flat, and she traded the shoes for the guest actually paying for cleaning it up. And after that, she went online and tried to find a solution to this problem, and that's how she found Minute. But I still think that was a great great story in terms of using the little leverage that you have.
Yeah, for sure. That's crazy. And so lucky that other person left their shoes behind. and I'm sure now a loyal Minute customer for many years to come.
Right.
So one final question for you, Niels. If you were starting out in the vacation rental industry again today, what's one tip that you wish you could have received from the very beginning?
Yeah, the vacation rental industry was new to me. Like, I came from the tech side, and I've been really astounded with how much of a community it is. Like, people are very friendly and very helpful, and they want to see each other succeed. And I think coming from the tech world, I thought things were a little bit more competitive, and I wish I had realized how nice people are at an earlier stage, and been better at reaching out and being more involved in the community and being more involved in advocacy efforts, I would say in particular earlier. So that's probably the thing I would say to, you know, be more of a part of the community earlier on.
Amazing. That is actually what everyone says. I think everyone has the same learning and gives us that same answer to some degree. I think everyone's quite taken back by how much of a community it is. So you're not the only one that felt like they didn't take advantage of that from the very beginning. But I know you are now, and you are making the most of it for sure. Cool. Niels, I think that might be all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining. I hope you've enjoyed our questions.
It was great. Thanks so much for having me, Miles.
Great. And thank you, everyone, for listening today. Stay tuned for our next episode dropping very soon. Thanks, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you.